Trials and pain come upon all of our lives. Pastor Ray Bentley points out challenges even came upon the Lord himself.
Jesus is going through the greatest experience of suffering in his earthly life, his brief earthly life. And note that for Jesus, it is good to have someone with you when you are sharing a great burden.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When we're suffering, when we're facing a tough, tough trial, it can seem like the loneliest place in the world. But finding out that you're not alone in the pain, that can make all the difference. Today, Pastor Ray points out how Jesus shares in our suffering. It's a message of hope for those who need it most.
We are in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 27. This is one of the longest chapters in Mark, but some very interesting things that we talk about tonight. And the title of the message is, You Are Not Alone. We're going to follow with the disciples and Jesus tonight into the Garden of Gethsemane and his rejection, betrayal, and everything leading up to the crucifixion. And we're going to learn from Jesus something very unique and very powerful about times of great suffering and what Jesus did. He did something very unique, very special, and it is something we should emulate. I want you to pay close attention and follow that because it's something very practical that you and I can apply when we're going through very difficult times. The Word tells us what to do. I'm going to begin right where we left off. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning in verse 27. It says, Then Jesus said to them, he's talking to his disciples the night before the cross, All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. In other words, he's telling them after this tragedy, I'm going to be smitten. The shepherd is going to be struck and you're all going to be scattered. But he doesn't leave them there. Immediately afterwards, he says, but after I have been raised. Jesus always points to the resurrection. He says, I want to meet you guys after I'm alive again. And I want to meet you in Galilee, where he called them in the first place, and it all began. Peter said to him, Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. All right, Jesus demonstrates something for us that the Word instructs us and tells us what to do. This is the night before Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, is going to sweat great drops of blood, and his preparation for the crucifixion on the next day. And he quotes from the prophet Zechariah. What does that tell you about Jesus? It tells you that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, read the word of the Lord. Jesus is now giving to them this. Tomorrow, Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7, is going to come to pass. And so I put that verse in your notes. Let's read the whole verse. Jesus quoted a part of it. Let's read it out loud. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. So Jesus quotes that. He's preparing them through the word for what will happen tomorrow. Let me encourage you. He is the great shepherd. I'm his earthly representative, an earthly shepherd. But I speak with his authority, and I know that what I share with you now is the will of your Lord and Savior. He is saying to us tonight, you personally, as my child, I want you to read my word every day. There are many, you know, people that hear the gospel, then they get saved. They visit church occasionally, but the only Bible they ever get is what they hear occasionally on a Sunday or as often as they may go. You and I were never intended or meant to live merely on what we hear at church. Now, it's good to go to church and hear the Bible and have Bible studies, but it needs to be augmented. If you're, it's kind of like the Bible says that it is food for your soul.
Yeah.
How many of you, you know, would not enjoy only having one meal a week? How many of you enjoy eating, period? Yeah. Like, at least several times a day. So, the Word of God, at least daily. Now, some of you, let me just say this. I don't want to put, you know, an exacto knife on exactly how you should do your devotion. Some people are early morning people. Some people are late night people. I consider late night the earliest of the morning. But it doesn't matter where and when it is, but an opportunity for you to have quiet time with the Lord and daily reading his word. Immediately after Jesus quotes the scripture, he comforts his disciples by telling them, but I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I will meet you alive and risen in Galilee. And by the way, after this all happened, after Jesus was crucified, their minds are still reeling. We will read later in Mark, chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, that an angel came to them to remind them, hey, guys, now that you know that he's alive and that he's risen, hello, wake up, remember what he said? What are you doing hanging out in Jerusalem? Go to Galilee, which was in the north. He told you he'd meet you there. So all of a sudden they're like, whoo, he is alive, he is risen in Jerusalem, but let's go back to Galilee, and that's where they met him. Now, what's interesting is what we read here, because Peter makes a very common mistake. Sometimes, Peter, we give him too hard of a time. But the reality is, none of us is really all that much more spiritual than Peter. Amen? He's a regular guy we can relate to. But notice what Peter said after Jesus says this. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. We read here that Peter challenges Jesus, refuting what he has just said. How many would agree that if you're arguing with Jesus, you're probably on the wrong side of the argument? Peter was not only questioning Jesus, Peter was questioning the word from Zechariah that Jesus was quoting. So he's questioning Jesus, he's questioning the word of God. Now listen to this very carefully. Had Peter listened to this word of Jesus? Had he trusted in it, even though it didn't make sense to him, he could have saved himself a great deal of anxiety and very possibly saved himself from ending up denying the Lord, which is going to happen later that night. Here's the application. This scripture told the disciples what to do when Jesus was arrested. And it's the last word of the phrase, scatter. Jesus had even said to the men that were standing there, when finally they came later that night to arrest him after he had prayed in the garden, and they came with torches and weapons, and Jesus said, what are you doing? I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to resist. And then Jesus said, let these go their way. In other words, again, Jesus is telling the disciples, why don't you now do what I told you earlier, what Zechariah prophesied, scatter, get out of here. You guys aren't, you know, this is not the place and not the time for you to be here. Some have pointed out that Peter followed Jesus from afar, but maybe the problem was deeper than that, that Peter wasn't supposed to be there at all. Had that been the case, had Peter obeyed Jesus, he would not have denied the Lord. He wouldn't have ended up, you know, chopping or using a sword to cut off a man's ear and then denying the Lord. It's something to ponder. And then it's interesting, again in verse 29, Peter said to him, and him is Jesus, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Here is a tremendous problem. The problem with the big I. It's always a dangerous position to be in when you are, you know, saying, they may do it, but I will never do that. Bragging on yourself, putting yourself above others. We all do it more than we would probably like to admit. But then in the end of the day, after Peter said, I would never do that, guess what the other disciples said? They said, we would also die with you. Well, they said the same thing. So they all were little eyes separated from the heart of the Lord. Peter thought he knew better than God's word. Let this be a lesson. Never argue with the word of God. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
When God says something, he means it. And even if it doesn't make sense, obey it and then watch everything unfold.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, let's go to verses 32 through 41. The prayer in the garden. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Now, this is very interesting because now he is saying, I want you with me. Stay here, watch with me, pray with me. He was experiencing something that had never happened to him before. Jesus is full of sorrow, exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point where he thought he was going to die before the cross. Verse 35, he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, the Hebrew word for Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what you will. And then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then in verse 39, and again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus is going through the greatest experience of suffering in his earthly life, his brief earthly life. And note that for Jesus, it is good to have someone with you when you are sharing a great burden. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
You know, over the years as a pastor, I've sat with people in hospitals of various kinds and places, waiting for the doctor or the surgeon to come with a report. And oftentimes, depending on the surgery or the severity of the condition, which oftentimes is quite severe, life is hanging in the balance. And I remember being, when I started pastoring, I was 20 years of age. And I thought that my job was to go and tell people all the reasons why it's all going to be okay. And I had scriptures, and I was ready, and I was kind of, prepared. And, people were nice, and they were gracious, and I was young and eager. But I found over time that it wasn't so much all the things that I would say to them, because it created a lot of anxiety. And what am I going to say? What if the Lord takes them to heaven? How am I going to minister to them? And finally, you know, the Lord just said, just you being there and praying with them and just coming together, just being in the room waiting for the doctor to come out, that I'm in you, son. My Holy Spirit is in you. And I began to then relax and have a confidence that, yes, I'm a pastor, and so I represent the Lord, and people would come on Sundays, and they hear me, you know, going with them and through the Word and the Bible. And so when you're in the hospital and you're anxious and something, and then all of a sudden a shepherd walks in, there's a relief that we're not alone. And usually they just want to come up and they just want to give you a hug, and you sit down. And I learned that rather than starting me talking, trying to fill the quietness or the awkwardness or give some kind of help without even maybe knowing what's going on, is just to ask them some questions and listen and sit down with them. Hey, let's pray. Okay, you know, and then all of a sudden there's holding of hands, there's hugs, there's tears. There's a sigh of, you know, just being there, the Holy Spirit. You are all mobile carriers of the Holy Spirit. And your presence, without having to do anything or say anything, just your presence is very meaningful. Now think about this. Jesus he's the Messiah, he's Savior, he is Lord. But he feels so horrible emotionally, and what's happening, he's going to be, you know, made sin and separated from the Father. He's ready. He feels like he's going to die. Have you ever felt like you were so miserable you were going to die from just an emotional heartbreak? That's what Jesus felt like. And in that moment of his most excruciating suffering, out of the disciples who were there, he said, I want Peter, I want James, and I want John. I want you to be with me. Now, if the Son of God didn't want to be alone the night before he went to, he knew what was coming. He knew the prophecies. He knew how it was all going to play out, but he did not want to be alone. How much more than for you or I to know that, you know, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, don't let them be alone. Be with them, share with them, love them, bless them. And it's amazing to me and touching to me that even the Son of God, who is now in his glorious throne and in his glorious resurrected body, ruling in heaven, while he was here on earth on that night, wanted human companionship as he entered into the garden to pray, as he faced the cross, and he chose his three closest friends to be with him. You will be given opportunities. It's not just for pastors or ministers, but you as a child of God with your own family and your own friends will be called upon at times to be in a home or to be in hospice or to be in a hospital or an emergency room. Know that don't let them be alone. Be with them, love them, bless them, and pray for them. Now, here is what was about to happen to Jesus. Here's why he was so upset. He was about to be made sin for us. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made this sinless man be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him, we might fully share in God's righteousness. Now this time, you just listen as I read it to you again. CJB means, this is the complete Jewish Bible put into English, but from a Hebrew perspective, God made this sinless man, that's Jesus, the only sinless man, be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him, we might fully share in God's righteousness. Well, that's very beautiful and wonderful for us. But now think of that scripture in light of this night and what is about to take place. Jesus is to be made the next day a sin offering. Secondly, Jesus bore the curse of the law for us. This is why he shuddered. This is why he sweat This is why blood came out of the pores of his body. Read with me Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The Messiah redeemed us from the curse pronounced in the Torah by becoming cursed on our behalf. For the Tanakh says, everyone who hangs from a stake comes under a curse. It's from the same version, by the way. Wow. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Ancient of Days, is now, by being made sin, has redeemed us from the curse by becoming cursed on our behalf. Why? Because it's written in the scriptures and in the law, everyone who hangs from a stake comes under a curse. This is what's going on with Jesus. And then look at learning to pray from Jesus. If we look at verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I want you to notice when you are in an excruciating situation of trial, tragedy, and suffering, let us learn from Jesus. Jesus did not tell his Father what to do. And what he expressed in that prayer, even though he was torn up about it, he had perfect confidence in his Father's will. Jesus is saying, I don't want this cup. I see the cup, and I know what the prophets have said and why you have sent me, but I don't want this. But he didn't tell the Father what to do. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And therefore, if you're writing things down, jot down this thought, something to meditate and to pray that it would go deeper in our hearts. The most important thing to do in prayer is to share with our Father in heaven, our Abba, our Daddy, our situation, and then express our complete confidence in his character and will. Father, I don't want this, but I know that you're good, and I want your will. I know that your will is pure and holy and good and right, and that you work all things together. And therefore, the application is prayer is learning to surrender to the Heavenly Father's will because it's perfect. And because Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father, that's why now all of us are sons and daughters of the living God. How many of you are glad Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father? Jesus said, then you follow me. Do you know what a disciple means? He means, I want you to be like me. He lived not only to save us, but to show us how to live. Therefore, all of us, not just pastors and missionaries and evangelists and prophets and teachers, but the whole body of Christ, every one of you individually, is being called to be like Jesus, to say, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. And to come to the place where you have confidence that the Father's will is the best and that it works and that it will come to pass and that you will be blessed and everyone will be blessed.
Important encouragement today as Pastor Ray Bentley has led our study in the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you're along. Today's study is titled, You Are Not Alone. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And RayBentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.